the Lord.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad you came all that way to save my soul.
Amen.
Old sacred lamb. Amen. All right. Now I want you to be real still just for a minute. Kids, bus kids, all of you, give me attention just for a few minutes this morning. Very quick, I've got a very important word for you. Jude, the book of Jude. This morning only has one chapter, and we'll read a verse of scripture there this morning. There's a text for the sermon. The book of Jude, that's right before the book of Revelation, next to the last book in the Bible. You'll be still now, and everybody stays real still and listen carefully to what God would say to us this morning. The book of Jude, and I want to read this morning verse 22. The book of Jude, only one chapter, verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. The part of that verse I want you to look at this morning is in verse 23, where it said there's some that we should be pulling out of the fire. And I want to preach on that this morning. Pulled out of the fire. Don't make sense, does it? You wouldn't have to pull somebody out of a fire, wouldn't think. Seemed like they would want out. Yet the Bible says that we're to deal with some people like that. Literally, have to grab them and pull them out of the fire. Now, don't you listen to me the first couple of minutes here and listen real carefully to what I'm saying. Kids, teenagers, listen carefully. Back in January of 1903, January 27th to be exact, a fire broke out over in London in an insane asylum. And when I say that, I don't mean that in any derogatory way at all. It was a place where people who had mental problems. Some people have physical problems. Some people have a mental sickness. And that doesn't mean they're more or less a person than anybody else. And God loves the same as he does anybody else. There were 300 people in this asylum, as they used to call it. Out of those patients, a fire broke out. Can you imagine? It's 1903. It's in London. Old, dingy, cold, rainy January. Always rains and fog. They didn't have modern conveniences like we have. No telephone, no modern equipment for the fire department to communicate with each other. But it was a horrible scene. Out of 300 patients in that insane asylum, 50 of them burned to death that night. And 250, literally, had to be pulled out of that fire. While the work of rescue was going on, those poor people behaved in such a way that reminds me of how people behave today when we seek their rescue. Tonight, or this morning, you and I as a church, when we run buses, when we give out tracts, when we put our money on a radio broadcast, when we put these services on the internet, when we tell anybody at work or anywhere, invite them to church, we are rescuing in the rescue work, just like a fire department would be. And the world is on its way to hell, according to the Bible. Anybody who's not saved will burn in a fire, according to this Bible. I know that's not popular, but God did not call me to preach what's popular. He called me to preach His Word. And I'm telling you this morning, This Bible teaches there's a place where people go that are not saved and burn forever and ever and ever. Now, as we try to get people saved, what I'm doing this morning, it's sad, but sometimes we have to literally pull them out of the fire. Now imagine, we're back in 1903. We're in an insane asylum, an institution. We're firemen going into that place. Here's the reaction that they got. They said some of them laughed at the mention of fire. Somebody come running in, no doubt, a nurse, maybe somebody who worked there. And they said, the building is on fire. We're going to have to get everybody out. And some of those people laughed. You know why? Their mind was not right. They're mentally, they were not able to grasp what was going on. They laughed when they mentioned the fire. Their life was in danger, but they laughed about it. I can't help but think about multitudes today in this world. When we mention hell, they laugh about it. Do you realize that hell, the doctrine of hell and the belief of hell is laughed at 7 days a week on TV? People, you know why they laugh about it? They're not in their right mind. The Bible said that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 was down there, and the Bible said he wasted his substance with riotous living, and he lived wicked and lived wicked, and then one day it clicked. He came to himself. And you know what that means? If he had to come to himself, that meant he wasn't in his right mind before that point. And people who will dangle themselves and their families over a lake of fire and play and laugh at the mention of hell are not in their right mind. Listen, brother, they laughed at the mention of fire. They said, there's no such thing as that. Stop preaching about that. Don't tell us there's a fire. You're crazy. They laughed at it like it was a joke, like most people do today. Do you realize today I have in my video presentations quote after quote of people who are not in their right mind. Example, AC/DC, the rock group, wrote the song Highway to Hell. Bon Scott wrote that song. And here's the words to that song. First verse, no stop signs. Speed limit. Nobody gonna slow me down. I've got my wheels and I'm gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around. Hey, Satan, I paid my dues. I'm playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. And those people screamed and raised their hand. Yeah, they laughed at the mention of hell. I'm going to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that's why people today literally need to be pulled out of the fire. Somebody who laughs about hell is not in their right mind. Somebody who jokes about hell is not in their right mind. Somebody who makes a mockery of the doctrine of hell is not in their right mind. Have you been burned lately? Have you burned yourself on the iron or on a skillet or on the oven or something? The other day I was getting something out of the oven and I reached in and I burned a little place right there on the side of my thumb and it hurt for hours and hours and hours. And I put stuff on it. I looked for something that maybe we'd have for sunburn from last year and didn't have nothing. I put aloe on it. I rubbed stuff on it and it just burned and burned down into my thumb. That was just touching something coming out of the oven. Can you imagine being in a place where you're on fire day and night, night and day, month after month, year after year? And listen, that's where your friends are going. That's where your family's going. And mine, if they're not saved by the grace of God. You know why we make such a big deal out of being saved? Because there is a place down there where people go and burn forever and ever and ever. AC/DC wrote another song. It said, hell ain't a bad place to be. I'm telling you, anybody right, that's insane. They are insane. Madonna, on her song, quote, she said, I'm going to beat my drum, I'm going to ring my bell, and I don't give a blank if I go to hell. And she's got thousands of people screaming those words with them. They are insane, people. They are out of their mind. They are out of their mind. That's why say the most important thing for your kids is to be saved and know it. The most important thing for you wives is to be saved and know you're saved. Most important thing for your children, your sons and your daughters, is to know that they know that they know that they've been born again, because it ain't nothing to laugh about. Ain't nothing to laugh about. Ain't no joke. Number two, some of them people would not leave their bed at night and go out. They would not consent and leave the comfort of their present enjoyment even to save their lives. They beat on the doors. The building's on fire! And one of them would say, it's cold outside. I'm in my warm bed. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to go out of here. I'm okay. I'm being protected by my bed. I've talked to many, 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 many people who are not willing to give up some little enjoyment or comfort of the flesh to go to heaven when they leave this world. Are y'all listening? I've talked to people that said, preacher, I don't want to go to hell, but me and my girlfriend or me and my boyfriend shacking up. We're just living together. We're not married. And if I got saved, I know I'd have to get married and I'd have to make this thing right. Or we'd have to split up or something. Or I'd have to go back to my husband or whatever. Or my wife or whatever. And they say, I don't want to. Let me tell you something. They're like the people in there laying in their bed with a cover over them saying, I don't want to leave my comfort and go out. Well, you're going to burn to death anyway. One man said, one old guy got on there and he sang the song, old song, and he said, if there ain't no whiskey in heaven, I don't want, wrote a song, said, if there ain't no whiskey in heaven, I don't want to go. Well, listen, you nut, there ain't none in hell neither. There ain't no whiskey in hell. I heard people get on there and they get in these honky-tonks and say, well, I don't want to go to heaven. Well, you crazy thing, you're not going to party there. You're not going to drink there. You ain't going to smoke no dope there. You're not going to get high there. There is no partying in hell either. Insane. Can't you see? People that are not saved are not in their right mind. Not in their right mind. The other day, this is not part of the message. I just want to tell it to you. And I mentioned it in revival the other night. I've been saved since I was 18 years old. Sometimes you take it for granted. Sometimes you don't appreciate it like you should. And this has been on my heart all week. And you know what I told the Lord the other day? I've been accused of being selfish and wanting my own way and this and that and whatever. You know what I told the Lord the other day? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, however you can use my life to keep another person out of hell, that's what I want you to do. And I mean that. I mean that this morning. Amen. Amen. I want God to use. Listen, is it more important that one person keep from burning forever or I just get to lay around and do nothing? If we can get one person saved, listen. You say, well, Brother Danny, it's cold. I know it's cold. But it was cold outside that night. It was January in London. It was cold. They run the buses. They got the people out. The rescue was carried on. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's cold outside. I know them old buses don't get warm till we get here. I know it's rough. But if just one little boy or girl or teenager misses hell, it's worth every bit of sacrifice me and you might ever make. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Isn't it worth it all? You say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, let's stop preaching and let's stop parking buses. Sell them. Quit giving our money to missionaries. Turn lights out on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Meet in here and shake hands. Tell each other how good. Listen, that, we can't do that. There's a hell. There's a hell. There's a hell. They said, if there is a fire, the guards will protect me. Their madness is self-evident by the choice they made. Their madness is self-evident by the choice they made. Movie stars. Athletes. That old Kathy Griffin woman gets on TV and just absolutely laughs. I think she's got a show. I can't stand to look at them. Just drive me nuts, man. And I think she's got a show about something about hell, making a joke about people going to hell. Their madness is evident. When you meet somebody, I said it last week, when you meet somebody and you say, how's your family? And the first thing they say is, oh, they're getting their degree. Their priorities are all out of whack. First thing they say is, they're saved and they're on their way to heaven. They're not going to hell. Listen, if there was a big, big disaster, say like 9/11, and your kids lived in New York, right? And them buildings failed and everything. The phone call would not be, did your favorite team win the ball game yesterday? Right. Your phone call would be, are they all right? Are they all right? Is my kids all right? Yes, Mama, I just heard from them. They're all right. They're all right. Listen, the greatest news in the world this morning. I know my kids. Listen, I know my girls ain't perfect. Lord have mercy, if they was, they'd be here right now. My girls, they're a long way from it. But I'm telling you one thing. I've seen them all three get saved. I led them to the Lord in prayer. Got to lead them to Jesus. And I prayed with them. And I made them nail it down. And I asked them again and again and again. And when they got a little bit older, I nailed it down again. And then I got them to camp, and the Holy Ghost got on them. And I wanted to see evidence that my kids would say. Some of you parents need to make sure. You need to make sure. That's why you need them in a youth rally. You need them in every service they can get in. You need them where there's old-fashioned, red-hot Bible preaching on hell. And you can't only find it no more. The world's crazy because they forgot there's a hell. If it really comes right down to it, if there's people dying every day and burning forever and ever and ever, there ain't nothing me and you can do any greater than get somebody else saved. I know we got to make a living. I know we got to pay our bills. I know we got to raise our family. I know we got to cook supper. I understand all that. But brother, we need to rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. I'll say this. I was just amazed like you was. This week when that thing came on TV about that fella down there in Florida, that sinkhole, can you imagine? Somebody said, you talk about bad luck, laying in bed at night, and one of those sinkholes formed underneath his house, and bed, man, and everything just went down in the earth. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed him up. Sure did. And they had scientists over there, and they said, we can't explain this. There was no warning. There was no cracks. We didn't see this coming. Right underneath that house. Amen. You talk about being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm telling you, brother, that's a weird thing. When meteors are flying in the sky and landing, where is that thing? How come they ain't went and found that thing and took pictures of it and put it on TV so we can see it? That big thing that fell in Russia the other day. Where is it? They said, well, they can't find it. Well, they saw it going across. Everybody got video of it. Surely, with all that technology, they could track it down somewhere. How come they ain't got pieces of it and examining it? You say, what are you saying? I ain't saying nothing. I'm asking you something. What was that? When meteors are flying out of the sky and holes are opening up swallowing people, and the Pope resigned, and everybody knows that position, that next Pope could be the one. They said, listen, brother, and our economy, they said the whole nation could be bankrupt March 27th and sometime in April. All these deadlines and sequestral, what do you call it, cliffs and all that, it's all point. We're running out of time. The building's on fire. Get your neighbor. Get your friend. We may not be here for the youth rally. I'm not preaching on signs of times, but some of them were found hiding under the bed from the fire. The fire, those rescuers went in there and they were up under their bed thinking that was going to protect them. You say, why? They're crazy. I mean, they're insane. Now what's that a picture of? Some people think, well, I'm a church member. I'll be all right when I die. I got baptized, so I'm hiding. Fire ain't going to get me. If you saw a person hiding under their bed and the whole building burning down, you'd know what you'd say? You'd say, they're crazy. And the same thing's true of you that say, well, I've been a good person or I've lived a good life. You're crazy, buddy. That ain't going to save you. Number four, some of them thought the rescuers had made up the fire. They accused the rescuers of trying to burn them up. The same way people do. You know what? You know what the world says? The world says all of us preachers got together and made up hell to scare them and manipulate people and keep them true to the religion and stuff like that. Listen, I didn't make this up. I'm preaching it because it's in the Bible. I didn't write it. It was here 1,000 years before I got here. I just, Lord called me to preach. And I said, what do I preach? He said, that book. And I'm preaching you that book. And that book said there's a place where people go and burn when they die if they're not saved. Are you saved? Are you sure? Do you know right now if you died? Listen, brother, the building's on fire. I'm not talking about a church building. I know that the world's burning. We're trying to rescue you this morning. Some thought the rescuers made up the fire. Some fought against the rescuers, biting and tearing their hair out. Can you imagine? Here's somebody under the bed. Come on, sir, the building's on fire. And they'll kick at you and scream at you. That's the same reaction you get from people when you try to get them to get saved. Get out of here. I don't want to hear that. You come here again, I'll shoot you. Get off my property. That's insanity. We're there knocking on their door. That bus worker's there at their house and say, listen, we come to rescue you. There's a fire. Run for your life. Get out of my face. Get out of my... Don't you come back here again. That's insanity. That's insanity, brother. That's insanity. Some were heard screaming and beating at the door when it was too late. They said when the rescue worker... It finally got to where the thing was falling in. Old wooden structure, burnt just like a piece of, like straw, paper. And they heard some of them people screaming. And then it was too late. It was too late, too late, too late. Too late. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me this morning. You hear me? They fought against the rescue workers. Some were heard screaming when it's too late. I'll never forget this story that a truck driver told. And the truck driver said that they was somewhere coming down one of them mountains and a tractor and trailer had a wreck. And this tractor and trailer wrecked, turned over on this man, threw him out, fell over on him and pinned him to the ground. And there was diesel fuel and oil and transmission fluid and everything got over the place. Well, something ignited and it caught on fire. When that thing caught on fire, diesel fuel don't just explode like gas does. You know, it burns a little slower. And it started coming, burning the inside of that truck and the outside. And they said that man who was driving that truck was in underneath it and was pinned. It was his leg, and he was trying to pull himself out, but his leg was pinned underneath that truck. And that man was screaming, and those people got around him, and this man got out, and they said that he could feel the heat, and when he got out, he saw him, he said, help me! Help me! Help me! He was reaching for him like that, and they grabbed him and started pulling him. Well, the truck was so heavy, obviously, they couldn't do nothing with that big old, heavy, gigantic, massive truck. And so they started trying to just wedge him out and pull him out. And they said that man laid there and laid there and laid there and he laid there and he began to scream. And the people got around him and got around him and got around him. The Bible, they started quoting Bible to him and everything else. And that man just laid there like that. And all of a sudden that fire started getting closer and closer where he could feel that heat. And when he felt that heat, he began to scream. And he said, "I'm burning! I'm burning! Get me out!" And they said, "Sir, we're trying, we're trying." And they'd hold their hands like that and pull him so hard as they could. And they couldn't get that man out of that fire. Couldn't pull him out. Finally, he started screaming, "Cut my leg off." They said, "Cut my leg off." And this man who told that story said they took their pocket knife and began to cut the flesh, his muscles in his legs and vein down it, and got it to the bone, and the heat got so, and him laying there screaming like an animal, and the heat got so bad, they finally had to back off. And he lay there burned to death screaming, "Don't let me burn. Get me out. Don't let me burn. Get me out." Listen to me. That's a picnic compared to a person going to hell. That's an ice cube to where people go when they die. That's why we run them buses. That's why we fast every week. That's why, because deep down inside, we know the book is true. There's a hell, and you'll go there if you're not saved. You'll go there if you're not saved. Teenagers, you'll go there if you're not saved. This ain't no joke. This hell's not a life and matter. Hell ain't a cuss word. It's a place. It's a place where people go when they die. You might have to be pulled. Bow our heads for prayer. Everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Nobody's moving. Nobody's talking.